You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on the tools. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on the tools. Transform your problems into courage, confidence, and creativity by Phil Stutz and Barry Michaels. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. Between the two of us, Phil and I have 60 years of psychotherapy experience. Based on this experience, we've identified four fundamental problems that keep people from living the lives they want to live. How much happiness and satisfaction you get out of life will depend on how well you can free yourself from those problems. Each of the next four chapters addresses one of these. Each chapter also provides you with the tool that works most effectively on that problem. We'll explain how the tool connects you to a higher force, and we'll explain how that force solves your problem. The health of our society depends on the efforts of each individual. Every time one of us gains access to higher forces, all of us benefit. That places a special responsibility on those who know how to use the tools. They become the first to bring higher forces to the rest of the society. They are pioneers, building a new, reinvigorated community. I wake up every morning grateful that higher forces are there. They never stop revealing themselves in new ways. Through this book, we share their magic with you. We're excited about the journey you're about to undertake. End quote. That is Phil Stutz and Barry Michaels from The Tools. The Tools was the best book I read in 2012. Easily. I immediately bought copies for everyone on our team, paid them to take the time to read it, and even set up a book discussion group to walk through the goodness. I just love it, and think you will as well. You can get the book. We've got a link in the PDF, obviously. Google it, Amazon it, whatever you do to get books. They've also got a little app. Check that out in the App Store, the Tools app. We got a link in the PDF as well. And then we've got a link to their website as well, thetools.com. All fantastic. And this is a tough book to distill into a note. Most of my book is Kindle highlighted, and so is the hardcover copy I bought for a couple of rereads, which, by the way, I never do. Usually I read a book once through, I do the big ideas, and we call it a day. Very rarely do I go back and read a book again. I've read this one more than two times. It's that good. So we'll take a quick look at some high-level ideas and a super quick look at each tool. I hope that will get you fired up to learn more and make these tools a part of your life. Let's jump in. We will start with the first big idea, why we need tools. Quote, a change in attitude won't stop you from screaming because attitudes can't control behavior. They're not strong enough. To control behavior, you need a specific procedure to use at a specific time to combat a specific problem. That's what a tool is. The point is that a tool, unlike an attitude adjustment, requires you to do something. Not only does it take work, it's work you have to do over and over again, every time you get frustrated. A new attitude means nothing unless followed by a change in behavior. The surest way to change behavior is with a tool. End quote. Attitude is important, of course, but it's not enough. Of course, we need to consistently take action if we want to see change in our lives. That's what the tools help us do, giving us practical tools to powerfully face the common challenges of life as we consistently connect to something bigger than ourselves that'll help us rock it. All right, sounds good, but what are these tools? Well, that's the next big idea, the tools. There are five tools. Each solves a different type of challenge and is associated with a different higher force. Here they are in a nutshell. Tool number one, it's called the reversal of desire. The higher force we're tapping into when we use this tool is called forward motion. This is all me talking now, no quotes. So we all tend to avoid emotional pain. This is not good. It dramatically limits our potential. If we want to have a shot at actualizing our potential, we need to do what the authors call reversing our desire. And rather than crawl up in a little ball and try to avoid pain, we want to discipline ourselves to actually get excited about the challenges in our lives. We need to know, with an exclamation point, we needed to know that our infinite potential exists on the other side of our comfort zones, and that the only way to break through to that infinite potential is to bring on the pain. We need to learn to love it and use it to catalyze our growth. Easier said than done, but wow, this tool rocks, the reversal of desire. Tool number two is active love. The higher force we're tapping into is outflow. So, have you ever got stuck in a mental loop where you're looping around and around in your head again and again and again about all the things someone has done that annoy you? Well, Stutz and Michaels call this the maze. We want to notice when we're stuck in the maze and get out. How? Use the active love tool. Focus on your heart. And rather than mentally beat the person up who annoyed you, beam them love. Sounds a little weird, but it's a lot awesome. That's the second tool, active love. The third tool is inner authority. The higher force we're using is self-expression. So, how's your shadow doing these days? You know, that part of you that you most despise and prefer to hide from the world? Well, we need to bring that darkness to light. Without integrating those aspects of ourselves we're ashamed of, we can't fully trust ourselves and express ourselves with authority. Stutz and Michaels help us create a living embodiment of that shadow self and call it up when we feel fear in front of people. My version? The 4 foot 11 inch, 88 pound, anxiously shy little 14-year-old version of me, who was the smallest, I'm serious, that's how small I was, who was the smallest kid in high school and terrified of most things. When I can team up with that version of me, rather than wish he didn't exist, my power explodes. And I got tears in my eyes when I just typed that. Just to feel that disowned part of us being reintegrated and having that inner authority that comes from that practice. That's the third tool, inner authority. All right, the fourth tool is the grateful flow. The higher force we're tapping into is the source. Feeling depressed, overwhelmed, or otherwise drinking from the ick fountain? It's time to connect to source by getting your grateful flow on. At this stage, we all know that gratitude is scientifically proven to boost our mood, but Stutz and Michaels take it to the next level and make conjuring gratitude a fine art. Discipline your mind to always, that would be always, see the amazing things in your life. Get your grateful flow flowing. There's no better way to connect to the source of all higher forces of joy, love, and all things good than gratitude. That is the fourth tool, the grateful flow. The fifth tool is jeopardy. The higher force is willpower. So all those tools are nice, but guess what? They're a pain in the ahem to implement. Stutz and Michaels make the genius point that we all want to be exonerated from future work. We want to tap into the magic secret that allows us to be done with this whole hard work thing once and for all. Well, ha, that's not how it works. We need willpower if we want to actualize. This tool leans into the Jeopardy game show soundtrack to remind us that time is ticking and you need to respond to life now. Like right now, this moment now. Imagine yourself on your deathbed. You have no more moments to live. Guess what? That version of you wishes you'd finally, 3 exclamation points, do the things you know are best for you, like right now. We use the Jeopardy tool to tap into your ultimate power, willpower. So that's a super quick look at the 5 tools. We had tool number 1, reversal of desire. Tool number 2, active love. Tool number 3, inner authority. Tool number 4, grateful flow. And tool number 5, jeopardy. Amazing stuff. Get the book and go online to unpack those some more if you're feeling it. So moving on, we'll go to the next big idea. Willpower, the most important tool. Quote, very few models of human growth accept this, let alone give you a way to build your willpower. Instead, they pretend it's easy to change your life. It isn't. Our approach is the opposite. We're telling you the truth about how difficult it's going to be, and we're going to make you strong enough to face the challenge. Doing that means increasing your willpower, which is what the fifth tool does. In a sense, it's the most important one, the tool that makes sure you keep using the other tools. It won't matter how effective the other four are if you don't use them. End quote. Willpower. It's the heart of optimal living. We need to translate big ideas into consistent, powerful action. We've covered a number of awesome books focused on the science of willpower. Check out the notes on Baumeister's Willpower, McGonigal's The Willpower Instinct, and Duhigg's The Power of Habit for a quick intro to the field. Here are some gems from those notes and those authors to drive the wisdom home. Baumeister tells us, quote, "Improving willpower is the surest way to a better life." That guy is one of the most cited research psychologists alive ever. He tells us, again, Roy Baumeister, "Improving willpower is the surest way to a better life." Conservative scientists don't say things like that unless they mean it. So let's pay attention. McGonigal tells us, quote, "We may all have been born with the capacity for willpower, but some of us use it more than others. People who have better control of their attention, emotions, and actions are better off almost any way you look at it. They are happier and healthier. Their relationships are more satisfying and last longer. They make more money and go further in their careers. They are better able to manage stress, deal with conflict, and overcome adversity. They even live longer. When pit against other virtues, willpower comes out on top. Self-control is a better predictor of academic success than intelligence. Take that, SATs. A stronger determinant of effective leadership than charisma. Sorry, Tony Robbins. And more important for marital bliss than empathy. Yes, the secret to lasting marriage may be learning how to keep your mouth shut. If we want to improve our lives, willpower is not a bad place to start." End quote. That was Stanford teacher Kelly McGonigal and researcher Kelly McGonigal from the Willpower Instinct. Here's Charles Duhigg from his great book, The Power of Habit. He tells us, quote, "Dozens of studies show that willpower is the single most important keystone habit for individual success. In a 2005 study, for instance, researchers from the University of Pennsylvania analyzed 164 eighth grade students, measuring their IQs and other factors, including how much willpower the students demonstrated, as measured by tests of their self-discipline. Students who exerted high levels of willpower were more likely to earn higher grades in their classes and gain admission into more selective schools. They had fewer absences and spent less time watching television and more hours on homework. Highly self-disciplined adolescents outperformed their more impulsive peers on every academic performance variable," the researchers wrote. "Self-discipline predicted academic performance more robustly than did IQ. Self-discipline also predicted which students would improve their grades over the course of the year, whereas IQ did not. Self-discipline has a bigger effect on academic performance than does intellectual talent. And the best way to strengthen willpower and give students a leg up, studies indicate, is to make it into a habit." End quote. Let's cue the Jeopardy music and let's make cultivating our willpower a top priority. All right, next big idea, consumer versus creator. Quote, "The consumer expects a reward for the slightest effort, or better, for no effort at all. He cares only about what he gets from the world, not about what he might add to it. Living on the surface, jumping from thing to thing, his energy is diffused, like milk spreading across a tabletop. He makes no impact on the world. When his time on earth is over, it's as if he never lived. The creator won't accept that fate. Everything he does is with the intention of making an impact on the world. His code ensures this. He doesn't accept the world as he finds it. He brings things into the world that aren't already there. He doesn't follow the herd. He sets his own course. He ignores the reactions of others. He resists superficial distractions. He remains focused on his goals, even if he has to sacrifice his immediate gratification. Anyone can live by this code, but very few of us do. It means putting your life in the service of higher forces. These forces can't be found on the surface of life. They're found in its depths. The creator's energy must have the singular focus of a drill boring through stone. As difficult as that is, a creator is rewarded many times over for his efforts. End quote. That is strong. The consumer versus the creator reminds me of Walter Russell and Nietzsche. Russell, see notes on The Man Who Tapped the Secrets of the Universe, tells us, quote, "The life triumphant is that which places what a man gives to the world in creative expression far ahead of that which he takes from it, of the creation of others. And it should be every man's greatest ambition to be that kind of man. With that desire in the heart of every man, there could be no greed or selfish unbalance, nor could there be exploitation of other men or hatred or wars or fear of wars." End quote. Nietzsche, see the notes on Thus Spoke Zarathustra, tells us, "This is the manner of noble souls. They do not want to have anything for nothing, least of all life. Whoever is of the mob wants to live for nothing. We others, however, to whom life gave itself, we always think about what we might best give in return. One should not wish to end joy where one does not give joy." How about you? Where are you on the consumer to creator continuum? How can you move even more toward creator? All right, that brings us to the next big idea, joyfully being a work in progress. Quote, "I can confidently predict that you're going to find yourself in the same exact boat. You'll try the tools, love what they do for you, and yet you'll stop using them. How can this be so widespread? The answer is that our entire culture has an unreal view of what it means to be human. We like to think of ourselves as finished products, complete on our own. We're not. To be whole, we need to stay connected to something beyond ourselves. The constant effort that requires means that a human being can never be more than a work in progress." End quote. I love that. News flash, we are not finished products. Osho tells us that our being is in our becoming. That, quote, "Man is not born perfect. He is born incomplete. He is born as a process. He is born on the way as a pilgrim. That is his agony and his ecstasy too. Agony, because he cannot rest. He has to go ahead. He has always to go ahead. He has to seek and search and explore. He has to become, because his being arises only through becoming. Becoming is his being. He can only be if he is on the move." End quote. So good. Satchitananda tells us, we've got notes on Osho, the Book of Understanding, and Satchitananda has a great book as well, The Golden Present, that we have notes on. He tells us, quote, "The world is full of ups and downs, positive and negative. It's like a big factory. Human beings come in as raw material, and they are in the process of becoming perfect. Look at a Detroit car factory. At one end, you see the beautiful finished cars, ready to be shipped out. But what do you see at the other end? All crude raw materials, metal sheets, nuts and bolts that go through processing. A lot of cutting, chipping, rubbing, scrubbing, chiseling, filing, grinding, welding, pressing. Slowly, it takes shape. People are like that also. That's what you call evolution or growth. Through that, we gain experience. We learn." End quote. Each moment gives us an opportunity to more deeply connect to something bigger than ourselves. May we seize more and more of those opportunities and celebrate the fact that we are a work in progress. All right, next big idea, refuse to have a limited life. Quote, "A few rare individuals refuse to have limited lives. They drive through tremendous amounts of pain, from rejections and failures to shorter moments of embarrassment and anxiety. They also handle the small, tedious pain required for personal discipline, forcing themselves to do things we all know we should do but don't, like exercising, eating right, and staying organized. Because they avoid nothing, they can pursue their highest aspirations. They seem more alive than the rest of us." End quote. Another one that's just a wow. Want to be more alive than your former or current self? From the big stuff to the little moment-to-moment decisions, do the right thing. Learn to drive through pain. See tool number one, bring it on. All right, two more big ideas. Next one is staying plugged in. Quote, think of your mind as a newly bought, state-of-the-art, flat-screen TV. You eagerly take it out of the box, but it won't play. An electrical connection has come loose. There's no buying a new connection. You have to fix it with your own effort. Worse, the connection will keep coming loose. You'll have to fix it every day. But the broken connection in your mind isn't to electrical power, it's to higher forces. And every time the connection breaks, one of your personal problems appears. The tools repair the connection. That's why they work. But the connection never lasts. It will break again. That makes using tools a task without end. End quote. I just love that vision. Got a personal problem? That simply means you've lost your connection to a higher force. Solution, plug back in. Final big idea here is leading the way. Quote, let's imagine what this might look like. Close your eyes and use the reversal of desire on something you normally avoid. Feel yourself starting to move forward. Now see those around you, inspired by your forward motion, using the tool on whatever they're avoiding. See millions of people embracing pain and as a result, moving forward in their lives. How does the society you're imagining look different from the one we have now? When millions of individuals stop avoiding and start moving forward, there are no social problems they cannot solve. It's only a society that embraces pain that will lead the way for the rest of the world. To help you become a creator, the book has to do more than convey ideas. It has to awaken higher forces inside you. To keep those forces vital, you will have to use the tools long after you finish reading it. In fact, for the rest of your life. That's our ultimate goal, for you to maintain an unending relationship with higher forces. Call us crazy, but nothing less will satisfy us. And if you aspire to be a creator, nothing less will satisfy you. End quote. Inspiring. Here's to becoming a creator, moving through our fears, inspiring those around us, and changing the world in the process. That is a quick look at this really, really, really good book. I hope I impressed upon you how much I love this book, and I hope that you take the time to dive more deeply into it. Check out thetools.com where you can learn more about Phil and Barry. And if you like this note, I think you'll also dig Willpower, the Willpower Instinct, and the Power of Habit. Let's look at some quotes from the sidebar. Phil and Barry tell us, if changing your life were only a matter of attitude, you wouldn't need this book. Real change requires you to change your behavior, not just your attitude. They also tell us, if there is a key to influencing the future, it's through bold action. Until you can control your mind, you're spiritually immature. But you're not really free until all hope for magic is crushed. Lasting peace of mind can only come from a connection to the source. They also tell us, to reiterate, as human beings, we are given access to the infinite, but we have to work for it. It doesn't come for free. I began to understand what faith really meant. Faith is the confidence that higher forces are always there to help when you need them. All right, a few more gems from Phil and Barry. They tell us, instead of seeing problems as an expression of a condition whose cause was in the past, we needed to see them as catalysts for developing forces that were already present, lying dormant inside us. Human beings are only happy when they are reaching toward their highest potential. Paracelsus, a Renaissance physician and mystic, put it this way. Happiness does not consist in laziness. In labor and in sweat must each man use the gifts that God conferred upon him on earth. And finally, real happiness is the constant presence of higher forces in our lives. Well, there you go, the tools. What big idea jumped out at you? Did something that we talked about that I read today, shared with you today, jump out at you? Just land? Just resonate? What was that? How can you make that a bigger part of your life starting now? Get on that. Have fun. Look forward to sharing more with you soon. As always, Have an awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to brianjohnson.me to download more.